it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Total Madness Wrap-Up Podcast for the reunion. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, my co-host, Alistair. Ali, how are you?
We're here. We're doing it. I thought this was, some people messaged me that this was boring, but I thought it suited the season. I still got my same reunion vibes from watching them even over Zoom. What'd you think?
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I was actually kind of surprised about how much actually happened this season. Like, I think they actually had a good amount to talk about when it felt like, because I guess a lot of the things that we didn't see, like there was no strategy, so I guess there was other stuff. I kind of forgot about all the other stuff that happened. I was like, oh, that's actually a segment worth talking about. Oh, that's a segment worth talking about. That's a segment worth talking about. So yeah, I thought the reunion was pretty good. I don't know if we got a lot out of it, but in the moment, I was kind of enjoying it, so I guess that's really all that matters.
It's, again, almost like it's a price we pay for having professional reality people as our cast, always, is like, no one's really, besides like an Ashley or a Nani, gonna go rogue and fully spill the tea. So, you know, it's we take this is sort of a produced reunion. I mean, to me, Bananas was as much of a host of the reunion as Vernon Davis.
Yeah, I mean, they really should have just had Bananas and CT host it, because they were the ones fielding like and tossing out the tougher questions. So that should have just been what the show was, which actually would be pretty entertaining to see like one of the cast members of the season host the reunion. I think that would actually be a good way to go about it, rather than bringing in someone for the Pros vs. Joes version 3.0 season.
Yeah, I think they're beyond needing a host. I felt the same way. They could have like facilitated this conversation on their own with like sort of CT and Anissa and Bananas like sort of taking the lead. I don't know, the more level-headed people, at least on this reunion, taking the lead. But it does, like, once you officially sanction like Bananas as the host of the reunion, then I think we've gone too far. But I would be okay with like a quote to the audience, informal conversation that is actually hosted and produced by Bananas.
Right. I mean, of all the seasons, you could have done CT because he was on for so little, it kind of would have been like perfect the way it worked out. But yeah, I think that would have, if Bananas was hosting the reunion, I think that would have driven the conspiracies even further that this was Rick for him to win, and then he could host the reunion to talk about why he's so great.
That was one of my biggest takeaways from the reunion, is just like, I know I was hard on CT this season, but like, oh, I missed him. Like, yeah. It was so nice to see him. He had a lot of great, funny moments.
Very much so.
On the show, and then the clip, like the outtakes also.
Yeah. The one clip of him being like, all right, does anyone else want to talk about how great it was to see me lose or something like that? That was a great moment. So yeah, he was missed during the season for sure.
I loved the, like, all right, ask me your two or three questions at once so I can leave.
Yeah, can we do that to me now? Can you ask me my two or three questions, and then you can just take off the rest of the hour and I'll leave?
Yeah, no, I feel like that's big me energy anytime I'm interacting with, like, Akiva.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's you on that podcast. I'm not going to stick around for the mailbag. I'll do my part, I'll leave. All right, I'm done.
But let's talk about Vernon Davis, you know, not to enforce gender norms on you, but I obviously have no idea who this is. Nothing to do with my gender, just I don't know who Vernon Davis is. Ryan Hilliard says, how did Vernon Davis end up hosting this? Was the Miz busy or?
Yeah, it's a good question. I have absolutely no idea. It's not like Vernon Davis is the most well-known football player. Like, unless you're really like into the NFL, like fantasy and some of the teams he's been on, you probably don't know who he is. So I don't know what he's been doing that like he would have been popping up in like the MTV Icon world. So this was surprising to see him hosting this.
I am quickly scrolling through, speaking of Akiva. Akiva texted me or messaged me, whatever. a very funny thing, and the moment is passing as, oh, here he goes. He said, Vernon Davis, the 320th best player in the NFL. So random. He must have a good agent.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking maybe he's now part of like the CBS like stuff like that, because now since he's in that world, maybe that's the crossover if he's part of some of their pregame shows. I don't know if he's starting to do that now, but yeah, I don't know. It's very odd. It's very odd.
How do you think he did though? Odd or not?
I honestly don't think he was that bad. I thought he asked. I mean, whether he watched the show or not, I probably not. It seemed like he at least got good cliff notes to understand what was going on. I thought the questions were fine. I think he, you know, asked decent follow-ups when needed. I don't know. I don't think he took away from it. He wasn't the best, but I thought he was fine.
Yeah, I thought he was a little stiff. Like, I didn't really have, and like, far be it from me to critique him, but like, he did say that Bananas and Wes have been fighting for 20 years, which is insane. I mean, I just think the editing should have been better on that and not aired him saying that, but he obviously has no idea what's going on, which is fine. I thought he was like a little robotic. What I want in a host is someone who's going to ask the tough questions. Bring me Nessa. You know, I had this conversation with Johnny Langan and Molly today. Like, they were like, we like Valentina. That Valentina was a little messy, but at least I want you to be able to stop the fights after too long. I mean, that wasn't really a Zoom issue, but mm-hmm. when people are screaming for attention, let's be able to stop those fights, pivot, but also ask follow-ups. And I think that's where Vernon lost me. I thought he was a good enough host, but he just let everybody say as much or as little as they wanted. He didn't press anyone. He didn't, like, even when he asked Ashley directly about the Jay and Bananas and Morgan thing, and that happened on MTV. And mm-hmm. he was like, do you have a response to that? It's like, that's fact. That there's nothing to dig. We know what happened. Ask a direct question. Anyway, so he obviously wasn't my favorite.
I don't know why they don't try to be more consistent with the host. It feels like they really just, you know, randomly every season bring in someone new. I don't know why they wouldn't want to get someone to do this year after year to, like, either A, like, get them reps to do this, and then B, if you're in this world so much, you'd understand it, whether or not you're watching the show or not. If you just have done this 3 or 4 times, you can pick up what happened pretty quickly. So it's very odd why they wouldn't want to have someone be more established as the host for this.
I mean, also, like, there are so many people, especially in the sports world, who are fans of the challenge if they want a sports person.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, somebody in our thread in the patron group posted, like, who should be the host, and Felipe Shimon said Devin Simone, which I think is a great suggestion.
Yeah, absolutely. She would be great. 100%. I think having someone in part of this world do it would be 100% the way to go.
She's from the challenge world. She's been in a final. She has connections, but is not, like, too deeply ingrained. And she's a professional host. Like, it's mm-hmm. just all check, check, check.
Yep.
All right. So we have to get to the fashion. That's the best part of any reunion for you, I know. Caitlin Glancy says, what was your favorite and least favorite outfit?
So for me, not the outfit, but I enjoyed Bananas clearly having the most professional and largest mic, just like taking up 3/4 of his camera. I very much enjoyed his Zoom look.
It was so exciting to see. Honestly, I was very distracted by everyone's backgrounds and their homes. It's really wild to see the income disparity, like the wealth disparity between Bananas and Wes and, like, pretty much everybody else on the cast, at least as it comes out in their homes.
Yeah. I love that Josh and Casey were together. I guess they're quarantining for Big Brother. I don't love that.
No, you don't love that.
I don't love that. Why don't I love that?
Because they were not always quarantining together. They, like, flew to Miami, like, him, Casey, Casey's girlfriend, Maddie, were, like, on boats in Florida, which is, like, now the hub of the virus, without masks altogether, and they had not been there since March.
Okay, so I take it back. I don't love that. I just found it funny.
The challenge people are horrific with this. Like, forget Wes's thing. I mean, not forget it. Wes's thing, plus them in Miami, plus, like, Angela, who, you know, I stan, just flew to Miami to meet Janelle from X on the Beach, and they're, like, doing things in Miami. Like, in what world? Honestly, I can't. It's like, to stay inside. I'm disgusted.
Is Wes's thing over? Is that done?
Did it ever start? Like, I don't know.
I think it happened at some point. And I feel like it probably would have, if it was still going on, I'm surprised more people wouldn't have been there. I don't know. But yeah, it's kind of just popped in. Maybe more people were in Kansas City at the same time.
D thing sort of.
I guess that kind of derailed it.
Caused a harm.
That derailed it. Yeah.
So let's talk about the I do love a lot of the women had flowers in the background, like not like, you know, they don't always have flowers like on that random wall behind them, right. Just like casually cropped into frame.
Yep. A lot of redecorating in the few hours before this, for sure. I'm sure.
I have to say, I feel like the bedroom's a strange choice. Like Corey was in his bedroom. Jenna and Zach were in their bedroom. Weird choice, I feel like, for a Zoom call.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the Pugliana mode, right? Keep the bed in the background.
Yeah, but here's why. They will be in separate rooms. That makes sense. That's a requirement.
I guess that's, yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe Taylor and the baby had to be in the other rooms. Corey took the bedroom. I don't know.
I thought that, but I was like, you know what? They probably went out or like left them at Cheyenne's or something, or like they had other places to go. I feel like if you're doing a Zoom reunion and you have a baby, they're not staying in the house. But, you know, maybe you're right.
And what do we make
I did think of that.
What do we make of Nani's camera angle being preposterously off to the fact that anytime she was when she was yelling at Anissa, it looked like she was just straight yelling at the ground. That was throwing me off the whole time.
It was very strange. Like, I bet she has like a webcam that you can like pop on your computer,
but it's like attached with, to like, the ceiling light. Basically it was like, I mean, why did someone tell her like in pre-roll, like, all right, Nani, maybe lower the camera a little bit to give the illusion you're at least looking there?
No, that's the best angle from on high.
I guess so.
So deal with it. Let's talk outfits, though. I did contact our fashion correspondent, Molly Block, who did not have much to say, but she said Bailey and Big T looked gorge. Jenny seemed like she did, too, but barely saw her. I don't know. No one shocked me. I'll echo. I think Bailey. What's interesting, this was sort of the reunion where like Kara was ahead of her time in terms of what dress was appropriate, because like Kara, I feel like, really pioneered the extremely casual reunion outfit. And in these Zoom reunions, I've watched a lot of them on Bravo. You know, this is like, you know, Vanderpump Rules did it. Summer House did it. And the people who are like turning up like it's a regular reunion in like a cocktail dress, I think always look stupid. While beautiful, they look stupid. I think this cast actually, by and large, nailed the I'm at home, but I'm going to, you know, Kyle looked like an idiot, Corey in their like t-shirts, but you know, Nelson, I thought, had a great look. He was pulling that shirt off. That was a hard shirt to wear. I thought Nelson was pulling it off. I thought Nani wore the perfect dress of like the daytime kind of, but still cute dress. Bailey, the epitome of effortlessly gorgeous. Like, it looked like she just threw on whatever, but it ended up being like the most gorgeous color on her. And I want the dress. She looked amazing. Ashley will always give you the mandatory drink of looks like they're dressed for the wrong occasion. She was wearing like a long sleeve sequin number that I lived for. I was like, yes, Ashley. Okay, Ashley, go ahead. Put that on. Why not dress up? But then she reveals that it's literally just like a bra, a crop top. And she has full torso under. Kudos to her. Like, loved it. Not, you know, that's probably the worst dress, honestly. But I loved it because it was Ashley.
Yeah, I think that all great points. I like the Wes being called out for being a politician on his off day. I thought that was a very funny comparison. Yeah, but everyone else, yeah, I love Kyle wearing like a basically a ripped up shirt. Not the best look. Other than that, I think everyone looked great.
I also like that Wes shaved his beard.
Yeah, he did.
Kudos to him or whoever encouraged him to do that. It's interesting. This is something that I didn't even realize happens really on Zoom reunions, but they definitely didn't have all however many people were there at once. You know, we had the small groups. Yep. We had them cycling in and out. I think we definitely got some cut reactions of people laughing who probably weren't even like in the Zoom for that part of it.
For sure.
For that part, I thought they did really smooth, nice transitions. But how worried was Josh that he wouldn't have the opportunity to pick a fake fight with somebody more important than him?
Yeah, I'm sure he probably did that the first chance he had, right? The second he was on camera, he's like, all right, let me make sure I get my fight in to make sure that that makes air. And especially if it's with Wes, that's doubly perfect. I'm sure he took every opportunity he could.
I did love how when they talk about the final, Swaggy remains in frame with Bailey, but Josh gets cut out.
Oh, Josh.
One more technical question. You mentioned Banana's big microphone. there were so many inconsistencies between the technical. I didn't already say this, did I? My brain is like,
I don't think so.
I'm having bad deja vu. And I'm like, would Brian interrupt me if I already said the same sentence today? But I don't think you would. I think you would just let me do it.
You're already answering my two questions. I clocked out for the day, so we're good.
Yeah, and I was going to say it's because you don't listen, but I didn't want to be mean about it, but since you said it. All right, so some people had these, like, Secret Service earpieces that, like, coiled behind. You know, Bananas has a microphone. Jenny's got, like, shitty headphones. What happened? I was trying to think about it. Like, maybe in the U.S., they, like, sent them these earpieces, mm-hmm. but then Josh and Casey are splitting earbuds.
Yeah, it's
earpods.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe in the weeks leading up to it, they did like test runs, and whoever thing failed, they got upgrades, and everyone else got to do what they had. I don't know how the behind the scenes of this would get set up. It's a good question. Why? So like Jenny's just wearing like $10 headphones, and everyone else has like other people have a full setup. I don't know how those things get decided. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, I like how Survivor, maybe because it was so early, like gave us sort of like the behind the scenes of how they accomplished it. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, I would love that. Maybe they'll include that in the next week's thing.
All right. As we get into the discussion here, not a lot of attention paid to really Jenny or Bananas in terms of being the winners. I feel like they sort of yada yada'd it. They did not give Jenny the kudos, unless I missed it, of being the overall winner.
Well, that's because they had to cut out Jenny winning the full million just to re-edit it, right? That's why.
And then we have Jenny being like, well, listen, I'm not a champion. And I actually liked Bananas here lifting her up and being like, mm-hmm. No, you win one Super Bowl, you're a champion.
Yeah, 100%. If you want to say like legend or like some other grandiose word, you could say that. But champions is all, that's just one. Just one.
She beat apparently the greatest of all time. That's just true. Saying.
She did. She's great.
So, yeah. Do you think it was related to the controversy or just that it wasn't that of exciting a result? Like, I feel like they really did not discuss the win.
Yeah. I mean, they really didn't even discuss the final at all, like even altogether. A lot of some of the intricacies. I mean, I guess not having Rogan there probably took away for some of it for the guys because they couldn't talk about like the elimination and some of the decisions. But yeah, I was surprised they didn't really go full in depth. But I guess what is there really to talk about? Like, oh, how tough was the trek through the snow? It was tough. There you go. There's the segment.
Yeah, I feel like they sort of played Bailey out. And yes, Melissa was pregnant, and I don't think she deserves shit for quitting. But like, they re-showed Bailey quitting and saying, and TJ saying finals aren't for everyone. But then obviously when they show Melissa quitting, they show more of like a heroic effort to have triumphed. And I was like, really? Okay. But did you know, and maybe I'm just not a close watcher of the show, whatever. Did we know they were in Austria?
I don't think they told us. I know they said pack up and leave, but I don't think they ever specifically said where they were going to, although they probably did. And like you said, we just didn't notice. But I know that is why Melissa named her daughter that, right? Vienna? Because that's where she found out.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Didn't make that connection.
There you go.
Because Bailey was like, I went to a hospital in Austria. I was like, what? Record scratch. Don't at me. I truly couldn't care. Let me make this clear. I could not care less.
I mean, there was the whole season last time where we didn't know where they were the entire time. So at least this is just the final.
That was this season. We were like, we don't know where they are, but then we knew.
Okay, maybe it's every season.
It's every season. It's crazy that she found out that she was 4 months pregnant.
Yeah.
Right after. Like, that's wild.
I mean, it's wild. It's just so crazy impressive that she was able to do all that and like handle all that. And it's wild. I could never imagine.
Were you aware of the rumors that the baby was Kyle's? I feel like that had escaped me.
Yeah, that missed my wavelength. That missed anything that I was seeing. I'm not surprised that would pop up, but I'm surprised it got as much. I thought if anything, it may be like a few jokes here or there, but the fact that it seemed to be like a legitimate thing that they had to address is kind of crazy.
Yeah. And then it seemed like they're still addressing it. Like,
right.
I think the answer is I think Kyle and Mel have chemistry. It could be platonic chemistry. Who cares the reason? Like, they definitely have chemistry together. Like, I would ship them.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly got along great all season. They clearly have a very close friendship. But yeah, if they wanted to go things further, good for them. They'd be great together.
Did you catch Corey killing a bug in the middle of this conversation.
Right on cue from when the throwback of our memorable moment with the bug. So that was pretty funny.
Okay, so let's take this tangent. What made you repost it? So for anyone who's a new listener, well, there were, and I went back and listened, which is why I'm raising it, because the best part was cut out. Like,
really?
There was nothing that even happened.
Oh, I didn't listen to it. It was in my time op, and I saw it was from like 3 or 4 years or whatever it was. I was like, oh, this is the moment, or this is the podcast.
Wait, say that again?
It was in like my time hop. Like, oh, this on this day.
Oh, I don't know what time hop is.
See, either I'm one of the cool kids or like way past the cool kids.
No, I know what it is. I see, you know, boomers posting their time hops, but I've like never investigated getting it.
It's my fun scrolling with my morning coffee. I say, oh, what was I tweeting about this day like 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago?
When you're me, you don't like to revisit what I was tweeting, whatever it was. You're buried. No, I mean, so basically, this was my 1L summers. This was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever, who cares? Mm-hmm. 2017. And a giant ass bug. I remember it. I described it on the podcast. It's 30 minutes in, like almost exactly. And I describe it, I explain it. But then, honestly, shout out to Scott St. Pierre or us, but definitely Scott. I miss, like, you listen, you transition fluidly. It's like 45 minutes in. And then you make a joke about a bug. And I'm like, Brian's saying that because we just had to cut for 5 minutes while I screamed about the bug. So we stop recording and you listen to me.
I thought it was, crazy. I thought it was more on the podcast.
I don't know if later in the podcast it doesn't get worse. But the part that I really remember, like screaming and running around and trying to kill it and making it worse, that got cut out very seamlessly because right. I didn't notice the jump. But I will say I could not even make it through our own podcast. Shout out to the listeners of this. I don't know how you deal with it. I literally was actively trying to listen and had to turn it off.
Well, there's nothing worse than the sound of your own voice. So I can't imagine listening to myself talk either. So
it wasn't even that. It wasn't even the
just
voice.
The quality, not even the sound. It's just everything we're saying was just so bad.
It was just, you know, it was funny. That's the season. It was episode one. And that's the season where we did like a preview and we forgot Nelson.
Oh,
look how far we've come.
Wow. He's now top of the heap.
Really says more about Nelson. He's really improved.
Yes.
Okay, let's get back to this. Sorry. So Corey kills a bug. So they roll the footage. They call the snitch hotline. And they roll like three scenes of Mel and Kyle. Did you find anything damning in the B-roll?
I mean, if you splice together like a few 2 second clips of like, you can make anything seem bad. I mean, in those moments, it doesn't look good. But like, given the context of like the whole thing, I think the whole grand scheme would make it not seem as bad. But yeah, in those 2 seconds, it seems like it's more than flirting. But I mean, short context can make anything look bad.
I thought the first clip was the worst. And then I thought the other two were very like, whatever. Matt Stewart says, I felt so naive, seemingly being the only one shocked about Kyle and Melissa's tape that was revealed. I must be flirting wrong because that was way more than any flirting I've ever done. Now, I thought Kyle, for anyone, I know some people are skipping the reunion. Basically, they rolled footage of Mel sitting on Kyle's lap and Kyle's hand is like down her sweatpants, like in her ass. So yeah, not great. And I think you're being generous to say you could cut any 2 minute clip. I would venture to guess, Brian, that I could not find a 2 minute clip of you doing that. And you're not even on live television.
That's very true.
Like, it's like, you know, that's wild. Like, that is really wild to then say, oh, it was just friendly flirting.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, but it's also different. Like, I mean, I know Kyle's not. I don't think Melissa's with the baby that
is. No, Kyle has a girlfriend. Oh, okay, they were talking about it.
Okay, so then I guess it's not that good.
Because they said, what did your girlfriend say about the rumors? Now, maybe Kyle was single on the show and is now.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Single.
That's what I thought. But
okay, so maybe that. Then who cares? But I thought it was being shown because it was like. Because then I did like how the host went around and was like, how would Taylor react? And I love Corey being like, I could never get away with that.
Hey, Corey making the sailor joke. It's not my kid. I swear it's not mine. It's not mine.
Instead, I have Nelson sit on my lap.
Corey just once again making it his best season for sure.
Oh my God, I love Corey. I found myself watching Corey's Instagram story. I follow Corey, obviously, and Cheyenne and Ryder K.
Whole family.
Some exceptions, but but Corey. I was watching Corey is like working out and is like, yeah, get them gains. I'm working out. Like I'm gonna make everyone scared, whatever, showing his abs. And I found myself being like, oh, I hope he wins the season, forgetting that he has already lost.
You never know. Rewrite it. Go back in time.
Still rooting for Corey.
Maybe next
Let's talk
year.
About the most interesting part, I think, of the reunion really was the Nani of it all.
Yeah, the Nani and Issa thing. Yeah, that was some interesting discussions. I think I agree.
Well, far be it from me to shame anyone for being inebriated. But what was going on? Like, Nani was not a sober Nani. Am I right? I don't know, but we've seen enough of Nani, and it seemed like she was already in an emotional place. Let's say that.
Well, she said she was up since 4 a.m. And if you're saying you're up since 4 a.m., that would make me believe it's probably like by that point, 6, 7 p.m. I feel like you don't say like if it's 9 a.m., like, oh, I've been up since 4. I think it's got to be a lot later in the day. So she's probably been awake for 12, 13 hours by that point.
So your read on Nani was that she was tired.
Tired, exhausted, wants to be done with this. Probably has had these conversations a lot already. It just hates rehashing a moment that she said herself that she's very embarrassed by. Just wants to move on. And now she has to reconfront it.
You know how I feel. Alcohol is always the enemy. This to me felt like.
I thought we were a pro-alcohol podcast.
Not on TV. Well, maybe watching TV. But I feel bad for Nani here. Maybe it was exhaustion. But like, look, she settles the Casey stuff. Again, this is where I wanted the host to pry more. The host says, Vernon says, Casey, you said you kissed in the episode. And he's like, she's like, we did not kiss. And then we move on. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What I did not expect is when Nani starts blaming Anissa. Like you say, like, oh, she's tired. She's sorry. She's so a million times. Nani comes out hot with, I've watched the episode now, and with fresh eyes, you, Anissa, are a bad friend, and therefore I'm absolved from the horrible house of horrors I unleashed on you. I did not have that on my 2020 bingo card, that Anani will flip the situation on Anissa.
I don't think she was saying she's absolved. I think she's just saying that she it maybe isn't 100% to blame. Maybe she's less to blame, because I did understand what Nani was saying. She was like, you know, we're the ones that are close friends, and if you had a problem with something that I was doing, why wouldn't you come to me instead of the girl that I'm flirting with? And I do understand that. I get her point. I get her frustration. She probably said it and went about it the wrong way, but I understand her frustration with what Anissa did.
Forgive Anissa for holding, for once, the person in the relationship accountable. You know, like, I thought Anissa actually really handled it well. She came in. She's like, all right, let's unpack this. First, you're acting like we're best friends. You didn't treat me like your friend in the house at all. You had one and two, and then I was close with Casey. So, okay, fair enough. Then, Nani, you're a mess when you're drunk. I mean, she said tough to talk to, but like, would you want to approach a drunk Nani?
It would be very difficult.
And Casey, not only is the calmer one, she's the more level-headed one. She's the one who actually could put a stop to this in a way that if you talk to Nani while she's drunk, look what happens. And she's got something to lose. I actually thought it was refreshing to finally be like, you know, Nani shouldn't be flirting with someone who has a girlfriend, but it's ultimately Casey's job to draw the lines, to draw the barriers and say, I'm with my girlfriend. This is cross a line, or I don't want this to cross a line, or whatever. So I don't think it's that insane for Anissa to go to the person with the girlfriend and say, hey, this might not look great to your girlfriend back at home.
It's kind of crazy for Casey to come in this season from, you know, for people from Big Brother, watch her for 100 days. And she really had like not even a snippet of drama. And she was very much a focal point of two of the biggest dramatic events of this season, with this whole triangle and her thing with Bailey. So it is kind of crazy how much Casey was really one of the more dominant dramatic parts of this reunion.
Yeah, and I think it shows like it's another pro in the, and it'll be interesting in an all-star season of Big Brother how this pans out, but like, when you don't have prior relationships and you come into a fresh house and you make a six-person alliance that you just win out and stick through the whole time, you know, it's less drama. But when you come in with sort of messy baggage and you have old friends and new friends mm-hmm. and choices and, you know, relationships back at home, you know, that definitely changes the alcohol, definitely changes the game.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're pulling people from like the same show, not even necessarily from the same like season, like you, Big Brother's obviously, I'm sure, like a community. And even if you're not on the same season, you probably are starting to have like a friendship and hang out with each other outside before this show. So rather than picking, you know, one or two people from all these random shows, if you how they used to be with the real world people would be like a community, so some of them would know each other before even going into the challenge, even if they weren't part of the same season. So doing that with Big Brother or maybe some other shows would even add to that, to allow these characters to have some history with each other to kind of cultivate and get further along during these seasons.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Come one, come all, give us your tired, your drunk, your huddled masses.
Real World versus Big Brother.
I get what you're saying. Maybe Nani has a leg to stand on, but she completely loses me here the way she goes about it. And Marie and Jemmy and some other people have been talking well before this about mental health and reality television and the ways in which networks don't provide support for people who show up on a show and then face the wrath of the internet and people like us and people worse than us. And that's real. And like, I think that's a problem that I think should be, I'm glad people are talking about. I know, you know, Hannah Shapiro talks a lot about it. But maybe Nani got a lot of hate. You know, I'm obviously, we're not, thankfully, like on the forums contributing to hate. And so therefore, maybe we're not seeing the hate that Nani got as a result of this. And maybe that's impacting her here. But I think she ended up making herself look a lot worse by having this reaction, because then, you know, then when Anissa takes it to a place of like, well, was it right or wrong? Like, regardless of if I should have come to you, like the things you said to me and you put your hands on me, like I wouldn't have done that regardless of what you did. And I made it okay. Like I was okay with it. And then she threatens to leave. I think she has an overreaction to being held accountable. And again, she's probably dealing with a lot. I obviously overreact to a lot of things, but you know, like, of course I feel bad about it. I'm ashamed. I'll never do reality television again. I'll walk off. Like, again, I think trying to make yourself look like the victim in a situation where you did harm is not a sympathetic position to take, even if she has suffered as a result of her own actions.
Yeah, I think Nani probably faced a lot of internal struggles watching her back and watching probably she being on reality TV for, I don't know, gotta be close to a decade now for her. It's gotta be a lot.
Connor Hawachin says, do you think Nani is actually done with reality TV because of her actions towards Anissa, or will we see her messy self back next season?
I'm sure we'll see her messy self back next season.
She's so essential to the show. That's the thing. Like, you know, we see Nani later. I mean, it was absolutely hilarious when she comes back and is like, me and Anissa are fine. Like, I'm over it. Like, that was really, that's what I think. This was not a normal Nani. Like, whatever. But she ends up walking off the show and they show it in like an outtake. Like, she's like, you know what? I'm done. I've had enough, and closes her laptop. And we're to believe that she just like left.
Yeah.
Right. Was that your take?
I think so. I think she just, you know, closed out, unplugged, and went to sleep.
She doesn't seem easy to work with, you know, but I do think she's essential to the show, such that she can, as long as it's, you know, not acting in a way that'll get you removed from the show. Right. I think she could be as difficult to work with as she wants to be. She's coming back, or she's getting invited back time and time again, because imagine this season without Nani. I mean, imagine this reunion without Nani. There was nothing going on.
Yeah, I think as long as she wants to come back for the foreseeable future, she'll be back. 100%.
I worry, though. I don't think it's good for her. Like, it's clearly bad for her.
Yeah, well, I mean, not luckily, but with everything going on, this is now probably going to be an extended break from reality TV. So that could be nice to kind of recharge the batteries and get away. And then whenever the show comes back, she hopefully will be in a better space.
Which is wild because she took, you know, she set the tone for like taking a break and coming back. And I, it almost gets worse since she's right. been back.
Right. Poor Nani.
Did you get any more clarity on the Basie situation, the Bailey Casey storyline?
I mean, it seems like it's just, you know, they came into the house seemingly, at least from Bailey's side of it, closer friends than I think Casey realized they were. And then the one thing that I got out of it was it seemed like Bailey threw the first punch in regards to why things started to unravel when Casey brought up that Bailey was starting to throw her under the bus to the tribunal. And Bailey kind of agreed. She's like, yeah, she never really denied that was necessarily happening. So the fact that that did happen, it does add a little more credence to Casey turning her back on Bailey if she felt Bailey was already doing it to her.
Well, I thought she did because she said, like, you should have come to me and said, I heard this. And then, because I agree, I was like, wow, she's not really denying it. But then she said, Nani was in the tribunal. Why would I do that? That would be stupid. So to me, I thought then she was denying it. But
I mean, we've seen Bailey when she's in like, no, this didn't happen denial mode. And she wasn't really acting like that, which adds credence. I think it probably did happen, or maybe she didn't mean it like the way it came out, but she maybe said it in some type of way that would make Casey believe it did happen. So I think we've seen Bailey get in super like defensive mode, and that's just not how she seemed.
Yeah, but I mean, she said, I wouldn't do that in front of Nani. That would be stupid. So, yeah, I mean, I think they had a miscommunication, obviously. Like, and then they even have a miscommunication over whether or not they talked about it. Like, Casey's like, I did come to you. And Bailey's like, no, you didn't. And I think they leave it at they're not going to be friends. But Edward Morris says, and this is maybe a Big Brother cast spoiler, although I don't care. I'll give you a second to skip ahead. Edward Morris said, how much will we hear about the challenge on Big Brother All-Stars? So basically, Casey, Josh, and Bailey are all rumored to be on this next season starting August 5th. So it will be interesting if their lack of friendship holds up.
Yeah, that'll be great. And I think Davon might be on it too. So this could be a whole challenge world taking over Big Brother.
Kirsten McGinnis had one of the greatest tweets of all time because Pauly Calafiore.
Oh, and Pauly. Oh, like, my God. It's the challenge. It's the Big Brother. It's the whole one show.
Well, he was rumored, but it was like it's actually Cody. I mean, we don't know. There's like rumors like putting Pauly, but it's like, wait, no, it's Cody, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Kirsten tweeted a picture of Cody, like what you see online when you order it, and the picture of Pauly, like what comes in the mail.
That's really funny. But this is like my joke. So I said when quarantine started, they should have just got 20 people and filmed separate seasons of The Challenge, Survivor, and Big Brother, all with the same cast doing the same show. See what happens.
There you go.
Silence. The silence there made me think, what is he talking about right now?
Well, when you said, this is what I said before, I was like, but you've never said that to me. It was more me thinking, like, I haven't heard you say this.
Right.
Sure. Just like we'll settle this beef, Wes and Bananas, after reportedly 20 years, not true, settled their beef. 20
seasons, I think, is what the implied in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
15 years, Wes later says. Yeah, I mean, cool. Like, to me, my reaction to this moment was like, there's no issues here. Move on. It was just like, who knew? Who didn't? Of course, Nani's like, I knew the whole time.
Yeah, Nani, the real Sherlock Holmes, could definitely suss out anything she wants to do in the house for sure.
I did love Wes saying, like, look, we had no bad blood about going against each other. Mm-hmm. We both are smart. We both thought there were limited times. We wanted to go in. I mean, Wes isn't going to get aired saying, like, oh, it was a good moment to produce. But that was definitely part of it.
Right.
But he says the whole premise was that TJ was going to lop us off at the end. And with the information I had, that was the decision I made. Thank you, Wes. Yeah, I still don't necessarily think it was the right decision. But yes, with the information you had and the way that you were being lied to, I agree.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we said in the moment. Like, you know, if this was it or if there was one more, I thought it was the right decision. But clearly there were as many chances as need be for Wes to get in. So it was wrong. But he can't know that. So I stand with him standing by himself.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like everything. Well, let's talk about Ashley. I mean, Ashley, I think, also had a great moment where
great line she had with I am a storyline. I don't need to make one up. But
yeah,
on a t-shirt.
I love that she really calls people out for, you know, pre-gaming, like in the way that Bananas calls her out for being nice to people in the house. She's like, yeah, well, I make relationships day of. I don't pregame and I don't manufacture storylines, which mm-hmm. I like that they aired her saying that because it really is true. I think the challenge is more willing than other shows to lean into the conversations people are having about pregame relationships, pregame stuff, people tweeting, you made the storyline up, whatever. I like that they're showing that on the screen.
Yeah, and I think we're probably a season or two away if they both keep coming back for that long for Bananas and Ashley to start working together similar, because I feel like they are so close to like seeing eye to eye, but they just haven't gotten it to work yet. But I could see them working together very soon.
And it's what we've been saying for seasons. Like, it makes no sense for Wes and Bananas to keep going at it like this. I love that they didn't make up some fake bullshit like, oh, we get along, we like each other, whatever. I like that they were like, we were going to keep losing. We mm-hmm. had to work together because they were stacking the deck against us.
Yeah, now they stacked the deck for Bananas, obviously. So,
I mean, same.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then Ashley also, you know, it gets brought up that Ashley tweeted that, why are we not, speak for the people, Ashley. Thank you. Why are we not discussing that Bananas and Jay share a mutual ex?
Very fair question. But I think it was answered pretty clearly why it was not shown on the show. Because Jay said he walked up the Johnny, they seemingly got a discussion one of the first days. Both said they had no beef with each other. So what are they going to show?
I mean, I think to me, I also felt it was clear why it wasn't shown. And I think it was at the behest of Bananas. Because, yeah, of course, nothing comes of it. But how many stories like this would there be a buildup for an episode and a half until the vote happens and then Bananas votes Jay in or Bananas doesn't vote Jay in or whatever? Like, they make nothing out of something. They make something out of nothing all the time. Like, this actually was something. This, to me, was why Jay was cast on the show in the first place. And I feel like Bananas is very cagey in interviews about talking about Morgan. Morgan doesn't want to do reality TV. If she did, we wouldn't be together. Like, I wouldn't want my relationship in the public eye. And they were both so awkward about this when it got brought up. Bananas had nothing to say about it. Like, I think Bananas is very strong about not wanting to talk about his relationships. And I think they've protected mm-hmm. him in the past with his hookups. And to me, this was, again, sort of like a black box area. And yeah, okay, if Jay did go up and say, like, look, we have no beef, I don't think that they couldn't have made that something.
Yeah, but I mean, if they wanted to fully protect them, they probably didn't even need to show this. Like, I don't think if they didn't show Ashley bringing this up, I don't know if how many times, like, would people be clamoring, why didn't they bring up this? I feel like people would have just shrugged it off.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. To me, it felt very cagey. Bananas is very cagey.
Definitely doesn't want to talk about it, for sure. I just think if they really wanted to not highlight it, they could have just shown that. I mean, this wasn't even that long of a scene. It was like a 1 minute clip that they could have easily just cut out.
I guess, but I mean, I feel like that has happened in the past too, where like they don't air footage of Bananas like hooking up, but then they maybe talk, oh, did this happen, their mm-hmm. union? And he's like, no, nah, and then they move on.
Right.
Yeah. I have my tinfoil hat on. I think Bananas, it's like very well understood that he doesn't want to talk about Morgan. Maybe he's.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I think if it was a fight on the show, like if Jay made it a fight, I think they would have showed it. I just think there was just nothing there, and they're just that's why. I mean, they cut out parts of other people's show. Like, they cut out storylines for like Tori and Asaf that would have played into voting roles that they just didn't show for whatever reason. So I think they just cut things out just to tell a specific story. I just don't think there was anything there to show. Especially because if being confessionals, if Bananas and Confessionals is not going to say anything, then they probably can't even splice that into the show either. So I don't know what they really could do.
No, I was going to say the same thing, that if Bananas is unwilling to fight about it, that, you know, he's smart about it. I don't know. I guess I just felt like he didn't get pressed at all. And maybe he did and we didn't see it and he got pressed and he really wouldn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Robbie Freeman says, why isn't Bananas open about his relationship with Morgan on the show? I understand it when his girlfriend was a private citizen. I mean, she was a professional athlete, but they met on the challenge and clearly storylines are being left on the table. It reminds me a lot of Stassi and Lala and Vanderpump Rules. You shouldn't be able to use your status to shield your private life. Everyone else is putting it all out there and he should be too. I don't know that I agree with this, but I also don't agree that, like, I think Bananas should have talked about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think if it, but again, I think if it becomes a storyline, it'll be discussed. And until it does, I think they'll, you know, keep it at where it is.
I guess there just was no reason for Jay to be on the show otherwise. And so for it to not pay off was frustrating to me as someone who watched Sex on the Beach.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think everybody has to put their relationship on the stage for the challenge? No, I don't think it's the same as Vanderpump Rules. But
right. Yeah, I mean, it's a different show. That's a show like about their lives. This is theoretically right. a game show. So, I mean, there's people on the show that they don't really dive into their kind of personal lives unless it becomes something that's worth talking about.
I did think Jay's response was kind of gross. I think Jay actually kind of came off bad at the reunion. Like when he was like, oh, man, like, well, you took the chick, like, congrats.
Yeah, that
like,
was a weird job. Line. That was kind of a douchebag line. Because leading up to that, he was like, yeah, I don't know. You know, what happened between me and Morgan was between us. What happened between you two is between you, and it's fine. And yeah, that line kind of threw me off. I was like, ugh, that's kind of gross.
Because, well, what happened with them was bad. Like Morgan was with Jay on the challenge and then, like, decided she didn't want to be with him, or maybe they weren't. Like, it was, like, hot and cold. And then, like, went across the country when Bananas and Morgan got eliminated with Bananas and, like, claims that she didn't cheat on Jay, but then she, like, kind of did reveal at the reunion of X on the Beach. Like, it was actually a big storyline in the reunion of X on the Beach because Morgan and Bananas' season filmed in between X on the Beach and the reunion for X on the Beach. Mm-hmm. So, like, it really was a drama. Like, it was bad. Like, it was bad. Basically, Bananas, quote, stole Jay's girlfriend. You know, she obviously has agency, but that's sort of the right. narrative.
Right.
And so, like, it's effed up. But I think Jay should have at least gotten to have a confessional about it being effed up, but him deciding to put it behind him for the sake of the game. Even that, without Bananas, is an interesting storyline mm-hmm. that I would have liked to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe he could. If he comes back, that could be something that pops up. But yeah, I guess just for now, it didn't happen.
I think we're done after that. I mean, like, Jay's... I don't know. Jay, to me, read so cold on screen. I mean, we're all going through hell right now, so I shouldn't really say anything. Jay maybe is going through stuff.
I mean, to be asked, like, if you're sleeping during reunion is not the best look.
Yeah, he was not popping.
Nope. Not
big things popping. Little Jay's stopping.
Mm-hmm.
I regret that.
It's okay. I support.
They talk about Josh. All I have is that Josh says he's going to take the L, but we actually took the L. That's all I felt about the Josh segment.
Yeah, not much there. Not much there. The Kayla stuff was, I guess, sort of interesting to get, like, at least her side of everything that went down, where it's clear, you know, she was going to get out of this relationship and just use Bear as the reason. Just kind of, I mean, that's what we've kind of all speculated and thought, but it's just kind of good to hear it first person and get it from her.
Yeah, she ties it up. She broke up with her boyfriend, cleared that up, moved out, went to the UK for 2 weeks. I have that out of order, but who cares? Mm-hmm. And that was it. And now she's happy with Sam, who, again, they didn't mention was on X on the Beach, but that's fine. they showed a picture of him. So, yeah, she seems happy and whatevs. One thing about Josh, people were like, Josh came off so well. Like, yeah, Josh handled himself well, and it seems like he got the respect of Nani and Wes and Bananas defending him, but I just don't find him to be that interesting as of now.
Yeah, I agree. He is pretty intertwined in this world, though, so I think people who are clamoring for him to never come back, I think that's pretty unlikely.
Oh, no, Josh is definitely here to stay, but I'm like, whatever. Although I would have thought Tony would be here for the long haul, and here we are. I think
that's probably his choice, though, would be my...
Oh, 100. Oh, of course. Yeah, but who knows, yeah. I'm saying, what Josh's life will end up being.
Sure. Maybe he goes with Big Brother again. He doesn't need the money anymore.
I would have said Tony would have never opted out of the challenge. Like, forget his choice or not. I would have mm-hmm. thought we'd be seeing Tony on the challenge for 40 years.
Yep.
And do you think Tony will ever come back?
I think everyone eventually will always come back, so I'll say yes.
I'll come back. Would people care if Tony came back? I think probably still they would.
I think so. I think was his last season when he was with Johnny as a rival. Was that a rival? Rival 3? I think that was his last season. I'm going to say that. Stick to it.
When did he propose? That was his last one, right?
Yeah, I think that was that season, right? And Johnny was with the camera right behind him. Yeah, we'll go with that.
I just think with Tony, it's like, I don't think he has that many more seasons where people will still be excited. I feel like right. he's got a smaller window.
Very fair.
Is Mark Long hitting him up for the old school? He's hitting everyone else up.
I don't think he's qualified for old school.
We did get a clip back to Nelson's bad days reminding us what I love about Nelson with the porta potty accusation on Kayla. Was it a lie? Possibly, but it was a rumor. Oh, okay, that's fine. He didn't make it up. He did hear it, but he right. knew it wasn't true.
Oh, that's Nelson's great. That was hysterical. Yeah, I mean, it's not true, but I've heard it, so I get to say it. And if it's in the Challenge House, it makes it true, but it's probably false, but it's here, so it's true.
Was it a lie? Maybe.
You believe it. Not a lie.
All right. Unfortunately, we had to see Zach. I was curious. This is not a question anybody really knows the answer to, but if this was a Zoom finale and this was live, is Zach there? Is Zach Skyping in, or are we only doing this because it's a pandemic?
Yeah, I would say most likely Skyped in would be my assumption, unless, I mean, if they still film, I don't know where they live, but I think they live in the New York area. So I think if it's filmed
in
New York,
they live in Michigan.
Do they live in Michigan? Okay, so never mind. Then yeah, I would say probably not. I would say he's Skyped in.
Yeah, they panned to Zach. He has the ugliest mean mug on his face. And mm-hmm. I have never felt like Zach was more relatable, because his face upon seeing himself on the screen was the same as my face seeing him on the screen.
Yeah. And I mean, I get why people didn't want to see him. I mean, he literally was not on the season, but I think, I mean, they had to address it. And given the circumstances, like back to Jenna's, what are they going to have Jenna in the room talking about this when Zach's like in the bathroom just trying not to be seen? Like,
yeah, sure.
Sense. I mean,
you could definitely do that.
You could, but I don't know. The fact that it was Jenna and Zach drama. So the fact that Zach would be in the house, you just put him on the screen.
I mean, Bear wasn't there, and they were talking about Kayla and Bear.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably other factors. I mean, I think if they were at Bear's like wife, and they were talking about that, I think Bear would have been in the screen.
I guess I'm more saying that I think Zach has done as much as anyone who allowed at the reunion.
If we never see Zach again, that's totally fine. I just meant for this specific circumstance. I mean, it probably makes sense for him to be there.
No, but I'm saying there are a lot of people it would have made sense to be on the reunion who were not invited onto the reunion. I mean, look, Jordan and Tori live together. So I guess I don't know why I'm subjected to seeing Zach when Zach has done enough to warrant never being on, and he wasn't even on the season. So let Jenna, who was asked to be on, speak for her family, just as Tori and, you know, I guess Taylor's not really involved, but Corey was there without her. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I don't get why he gets to be on to talk about how terrible he acted.
Yeah, and it just sucks to see Jenna once again defending him and standing by him, and it's just clear, like, I mean, I don't know. I hope they're happy.
It was interesting. I mean, I did like hearing Zach say, like, it doesn't matter what I found on her phone. We were, like, stronger than that, and I should have known we would have worked it out, and I shouldn't have acted like that. I mean, he doesn't quite apologize, but he doesn't act justified, although he later then says he was justified. And Jenna is like, I would have done the same thing if I thought he cheated on me. I'm going to say 0% chance Jenna would have done the same thing if the situation was reversed.
from our history with Jenna, that is just not how she acts. So that would be quite out of character.
The craziest part was they asked Corey a question. And obviously the rumors are that what Zach found involved Corey. And Corey gives Jenna props. Like, oh, I invented Barbie Beast. And like, I'm, you know, of course, Jenna wasn't going to let Tori win. And they cut to Zach and Jenna looking so furious as Corey compliments her that I was like, oh, my God, guys, like, pretend to be chill.
Right. Right. And then Tori said the same thing, that she thought, you know, Jenna would be an easy win. Didn't happen. And good for Jenna to pull that one out.
Also, again, a bad look for I feel like. Another bad look for Tori. I mean, you didn't agree with me, but I felt like Tori kind of looked bad in that episode. And then here she is being like, there were reasons I had to think that Jenna was going to throw the challenge to me. It's like, all right, well, that was your fault for going in, relying on somebody losing on purpose and not coming to win.
Yeah. Writing in, what did she write, a note? Like, if they let me just went around, if it's a stick elimination, that was very odd.
I did love the genius of and Wes like confessing. I think this is why Wes and Bananas are able to act so shady in the game, but then like come back from it with the same people, because basically like Nani had, and we discussed this, like Nani had gone on Instagram and Twitter and was like, Jenna asked to quit and I'm taking the heat and like, this is unfair. And Jenna was like, I never asked to quit, but like, don't give Nani shit. And the truth comes out that Wes, in an order to keep Nani from being angry at him in the game, mm-hmm. lied and said that Jenna made a deal with him.
Yeah.
Woo. Something that could have been brought to Nani's attention before she tweeted that her friend was a liar, but...
This is a classic move for Wes, though. I think he brings this up every once in a while, where sometimes he'll admit to a lie to seem honest, so that way he could lie again in the future. I think this is a perfect example of it, where he comes clean. He's like, no, but I can't clean. I'm an honest guy. And then he can come up with a different lie to different people next season and be like, no, I'm an honest person. And this is how he gets out of it.
Exactly, exactly. That's a special skill.
Yep.
All right, just two questions, and we're going to be done. You know, we're going to be out of here. Alicia Rosen says, anyone know where Jordan was? Are he and Tori still together? I don't follow these people on social media, so forgive me if it's an obvious answer. Yes, Tori and Jordan are still together and engaged. Let's address where everybody was. So a lot of people weren't there. Maddie wasn't there. Rogan wasn't there. Dee obviously wasn't there. Jordan wasn't there. And then I feel like I'm forgetting people. But those were, I think, the four.
Yeah, I mean, there were some, like, what's her name? Jen wasn't there, obviously, but, I mean, for obvious reasons.
Right. What you got
were
on you this?
First, were you surprised that they didn't acknowledge the D thing at all? Did you think they would bring up it, like, ask anyone or anything about that?
Yeah, I actually thought they were going to use it as, like, a teaching moment, and I wish they would. Like, that's, I mean, I know, like, Survivor... that's sort of more than I would expect from the challenge, what they did with Kelly. And I'm not saying that was handled perfectly. I didn't expect that. I'll say that. But I did expect a conversation about it or an acknowledgement about it. I also think, so basically to fill people in, the rumors are, and I don't think this has really been confirmed anywhere, is that Maddie and Jordan, and I'm forget, and Bear, were not allowed at the reunion due to like similar issues or other like controversies that MTV has decided they're not allowed at the reunion. And there are further rumors that Jordan has like made some sort of unofficial deal that he'll just like quietly not be on for like 2 to 3 seasons. Now this could be totally made up,
right?
Like we don't know this for sure. I just think what good is being done by letting these people quietly slink off and not, you know, we found out the truth about Camilla. D gets public, gets a banner dropped before every episode, which again, I think is deserved. But why are we protecting Jordan and Bear if that's the case for them as well? Like if they've done things that are just as bad in MTV's eyes.
No, I don't know. It's very odd. And even if you, for whatever reason, you don't want to go as far as to ban one of them for life, be like, just come out and publicly say, like, all right, they're banned for 2 seasons. This is their punishment. Like, this is what we're doing. It would be weird to, you know, they did this with D. They want to take a stand against this. They would, so they're not tolerating this anymore. They want to be public with it. It's odd to then go backwards on it. Like, you just did it. Just be like, all right, these people are banned from the reunion. They're banned for a season. They're banned for 2 seasons or whatever it is. Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't just do that. If you don't want to ban people for life, that, you know, that's your prerogative. You do what you want for your show. But like, if you're going to ban them, just make it public.
I think Jordan has no business being allowed on the show anymore. I'm going to say that. That's my opinion. I don't know what happened with Bear and Maddie. I just know from watching the seasons of The Real World with Jordan, I'm honestly ashamed that I forgot that so easily, you know, but mm-hmm. I remember watching that. I really remember watching it and knowing then how horrible it was. There is no, oh, it was 10 years ago and I didn't know, you know, how bad that was. Mm-hmm. And then I've listened to interviews with Jordan since, not recently, but around the same time. I mean, question mark on rehabilitation and things like that, but if you're banning D there, you have no business not banning Jordan.
Yeah, and that's where the, you know, the slippery slope of where you draw the line, what constitutes it, and it's like very, like, I, it, they, it's a very, I don't know, it's a very complicated thing.
Yeah, I mean, slippery slope is hard because it feels like it's like, well, don't do it at all because then you don't know where to draw the line. Like, that's the decision people need to make. They need to decide where to draw the line, and basically they haven't.
No, they've very, very much not. And if they're going publicly or unpublicly, like if they're going back and forth with even doing that, the whole thing's very messy.
All right. Felipe Shimon says, who do you think needs a hiatus? Who do you think should come back right now like Corey did?
I mean, like we just said CT, like, you know, we missed him a lot. So having him back would be a lot of fun. I mean, who should take a hiatus? I mean, other than like, you know, the problematic people, I really enjoyed this whole I like this core group of people that we have going right now. I really don't have a lot of people that I'm wishing to not come back.
Where do we stand with Kara and Polly now that we've had a season without them? Did you miss them?
I didn't miss them this season, but I do think it's okay for them to come back in the mix and see how it does. Because I think now that we've had a season removed from the Kyle thing, I really doubt that would pick back up again if they're brought back unless something else happens between them. So I don't think we'll be subject to that. And I do think they're instrumental enough characters that the show would be lacking to not have them at all moving forward. So I do hope they one or both return.
A final thought from our fashion correspondent. She actually sent this to me last week and I forgot. Do you see that Bananas is selling a challenge inspired replica jersey for $77.77?
Yeah, quite the price. I mean, I get the sevens, but maybe do $7.77. I think that would be a little more apropos for a t-shirt. But 77, I mean, you know, you don't have to sell a tenth as much, I guess. So good for him.
What is devastating is that I'm sure tons of people bought them.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, if it was $7.77, or I might have bought one, not $77, though. I don't know if I could explain that away.
I do think it's challenge jersey material, right? Like, I mean, I guess I didn't look at it. I think it's like a replica jersey. Right. So that's me being generous and saying it's worth maybe more than $7, but certainly not 77.
Right. And then is there also shipping? So then like the sevens go away. So what is that though? Or is the shipping $7.77?
Oh my God. I did not look that much into it. Unfortunately.
And then there's tax too. Is the tax included? I mean, now all of a sudden you're at like, I don't know, like $91.62. So what's even the point?
I got nothing else.
There you go. We did do a drinking game, so that's fun. That's okay.
We don't have social media. I'm not going to thank you yet. We have one more episode. So you have one more week to get in your reviews. robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes.
Yep. You can follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian _.
One thing, you said something so funny about Hunter that I was just on the podcast I listened to. That was like, I forget what you called him, but you said something like scathing, you know, not rude, like, but scathing about Hunter. And I was like, oh, my God, like if he only knew what the original Brian Cohen thought of him, he never would have named his kid Cohen Brian.
That's still like, well, it's just like so preposterous that that's the name of the kid. That's just so crazy. But yeah.
And you can follow me at Last Reads.
That's it for the reunion. I mean, we're still I don't know. I thought it seems like it's a part two reunion, or maybe it's a shit they should have shown. I don't know what they're doing next week. Hopefully it's the last episode and not some part three thing.
You have other plans?
No, I do not. So we'll be here talking about whatever the hell they show next week. And that's quite the plug. Until then, have a good one.